Well, I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. We've got a lot less than we did this morning. I told David in the car ride over here, it's probably because I said in the lesson this morning I was going to issue a challenge. But I've decided that's not it. It's because I started using PowerPoint. And everyone got sick because they couldn't believe it. So that's what it is. So I'll just go back to not using it, I guess. No, it's so good to have you here. I want to thank David for his encouragement. He and I have had a conversation. We had a similar conversation at lunch, those who I went to lunch with today. We oftentimes get bogged down on what I call legalism in the Lord's church. It has to sound a certain way. It has to look a certain way. It has to mold to a certain image or it's wrong. And that's just simply not true. Not comparing David to this, but one of my closest friends when I was in college was tone deaf. It did not stop him from leading singing. And I enjoyed it when he led singing because he was singing from his heart. One of the ladies of a family I've been close to most of my life sings probably the most off-key of any person I've ever met. But whatever congregation she's at visiting, she's probably the loudest voice. And you can tell how much she is happy to be singing. God desires our heart. And if that's in line, the rest is a mute point, brethren. And so I just want to throw that out there on my soapbox before we get into the lesson. Sometimes we're too concerned with it following a certain pattern that we lose the heart that God desires. Why do you think Christ quoted twice Hosea 6 and verse 6? I desire compassion and not sacrifice. The Pharisees liked to be in their traditionalism, but they didn't want their heart in tune with God. Just think something for you to ponder over. Tonight, we're going to talk about a needy subject. I thank David for leading the harvest. I asked him to do that knowing it would be hard on him with the eyesight. But he agreed to do it. And then he surprised me when he called that as his invitation song because I wasn't expecting that. The harvest talks about three different parts. Our obedience to the gospel, our praying for the gospel to be spread, and then our working for the gospel. That's the three verses of that song. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. At some point in my life already, I've been about every person in this room during a staff meeting. I've been the person on the laptop taking notes, one sharing ideas, the one propped up kind of laid back, relaxing, even the one on the cell phone not paying attention. But you know what? It takes all these people to get a work done. Work can't rely on just one person. It takes a bunch of people to be able to work together to accomplish our goals. What are our goals? Think about that for a minute. What are our goals as Christians? Get to heaven? That ought to be there. Take other souls with me? That ought to be there. Fulfill the plan of God? That ought to be there. What about live compassionately? Live peaceably? That ought to be there. There's a lot that we can put on our goal list. What about then our goals as a congregation? A congregation that's not planning for the future will find itself in a sad state pretty quickly. There's always a need for elders and deacons, and you have to be working towards that in planning. Because if you don't plan, 80 years will go by and you still don't have any. You've got to be working towards something. You have to set goals. What are our goals as a congregation here? Are our goals to fill these pews? Because tonight we could put in a lot of people in here. Are our goals to grow to the point to where we have to rearrange the building, much to some people's maybe chagrin, that we have to redo this, but we've grown to that point? Would that be a goal? What about growing closer together? Would that be a goal? How about knowing everybody by name and having them into their home? Would that be a goal? What are our goals? Someone once said the work of the church can be defined in three different categories: edification, benevolence, and evangelism. We often stress edification and benevolence, but sometimes we don't give enough attention to evangelism. We worry about how things are going on right here and not outside these walls. At camp last week, or 2 weeks ago, I was thankful to be approached by a young man who I've known for a long time and have a long conversation with him and then baptize him into Christ. Very special to me. You know, that didn't do anything to grow Rock Church. That's okay. Evangelism is not just about the local congregation. It's about the body of Christ altogether. We need to be involved. So what are our goals? Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to have a lesson on edification and benevolence at a later point. But we're going to start with the bottom on evangelism tonight. And I think before we really talk about evangelism, and this will be the first lesson of a few on evangelism, we need to define it. We need to understand it better. If I was to say the word evangelism, think in your minds one word to go along with it. Evangelism. Got a word? Keep it. Let's see if it matches up with what we look at tonight. I passed out a piece of paper. Did everybody get a piece of paper for the challenge? Don't look at it yet. It comes up later on in the lesson. But I just want to make sure everyone has a piece of paper before I go any further, so that way I don't stop there in the middle of the lesson to get you one. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now I made known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand. Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. On the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, we stayed with them. There are three words here that we get the word evangelism from: gospel, preached, and evangelism. I'm not a Greek scholar, so I'm going to butcher this as best I can. The word gospel is euangelion. One of y'all can fix me on that later. The word preach is euangelizo. And the word evangelism is euangelates. You notice they all have a root word? They're all close together. They all are similar. The gospel is the good news. To preach is to bring good news. And evangelism, actually that should say evangelist, excuse me, from Acts chapter 21, is one who declares good news. I think Shane said it good last week. If we had a cure for cancer come out, how many of us would run home to pick up the phone to call somebody and tell them about it? You know what that would make us? An evangelist. Because we're spreading good news. In the context of the Bible, though, what is evangelism but spreading the good news of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Let's turn over there. I think Paul puts it best for us. Now I made known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Is that not good news? Think about it. What's Paul talking about? The gospel that I preach to you, by which you have received, in which you stand, by which you are saved. Brethren, there's a lot of people outside these doors who are looking for salvation. They may call it peace. They may call it rest.
whatever words you may have, but that's what they're looking for. And it can be found in the Bible, in Jesus Christ. On the outside, I have everyone's piece of paper folded. On the outside, I want you to write three names of people you know that need this good news. Three names of people you know that need this good news. I could say five, I could say 10, I could say 15. We're going to go with three. Take a second. Write three names of people you know that need this good news. Because I guarantee you, if I told you the news was a cure for cancer, you could list more than three. We've got five people on our prayer list that have cancer. That would be five right there. Actually, I think we have seven now. I'll have to go back and check. But this is the gospel. This is salvation. This is rest. Write three names. You got them? Okay. Throughout the rest of this year, reflect on those three names. And how can you tell them about the good news? How can you tell them about Christ? Because what we're going to see tonight is evangelism is sharing the gospel. Pure and simple, it's sharing the gospel first and foremost as Jesus commanded. In Matthew chapter 10, we have what we call the limited commission. Christ tells His disciples, you go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm afraid today we're acting like we're under a limited commission. We pick and choose who we think needs the gospel. We have put ourselves under a limited commission. We say, oh, that person that's drinking over there, he don't want the gospel. Oh, that person from a different background from me, she don't want the gospel. Oh, that woman who has three children and is unmarried, she don't want the gospel. Which commission are we under? We're under that one in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Matthew 28, go into all the world and teach the gospel to everyone. Make disciples of all nations. We're not under a limited commission, my friends. We have a responsibility to take the word to all those around us. Evangelism is sharing the gospel by preachers. I'll give you that. A lot of people think it's the preacher's job to share the word. I agree. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But Philip, remember Philip from just a few moments ago, Acts chapter 21, verse 8, what was he called? The evangelist. Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized, both men and women alike. You drop down to verse 35, when he comes to this Ethiopian eunuch, this is what it says. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. A stranger. Someone different than Philip. You know what he did? Started preaching to him. Started teaching him. Evangelism is sharing the gospel by preachers. But you don't get off there, because it's by all Christians as well. Notice this. Where were we? Acts chapter 8 verse 12. Where Philip is preaching. Look in Acts chapter 8 verse 4. In the first three verses, we learn that Saul is persecuting the church, and so Christians are fleeing, right? Verse 4. Therefore those who had scattered, who'd been scattered, went about preaching the word. Let me tell you, Saul wasn't taking just preachers away. Saul wasn't hauling just elders away. Saul was persecuting the church. Christians. And when they were scattered, they went preaching. Look over in 1 Peter.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim or preach the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'm going to keep using Shane's analogy to cancer because I liked it. What would you think of someone who found the cure for cancer and then moved up on top of a mountain and kept it to himself? You'd be outraged, wouldn't you? You'd call them selfish. How dare they keep that for themselves? Brethren, we've been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We once were not a people, but now we are His people. Verse 9, a people for His own possession. We've been made into a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Are we not going to share that with others? Are we not going to help others become part of that as well? Or are we going to be selfish and keep it for ourselves? Chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense or answer to everyone who asks to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I alluded to this passage this morning. Well, I talked about the oracles of God, but this passage goes along with it as well. We all have hope in Christ. You know what the American Cancer Society word is that they use when they're raising money for a cure? They use a four-letter word called hope. Because we hope we'll have a cure. I spent 5 years as an accountant for Relay for Life in West Tennessee. Our motto was always hope and celebrate more birthdays. Those were the two things. We have a hope in Christ. And it would be sad if we don't share that hope with those who need it. Hope is something you can cling to, you can latch on to, and it will get you through the rough times. It would be sad if we keep it for ourselves. Evangelism is sharing the gospel by congregations sending men and women to do the work. Notice Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11. For Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Over in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. This is the beginning of the first missionary journey of Paul. Now they were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought from up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. Then when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
We need people to send others to spread the gospel. Maybe that's just sending them across the road. Maybe that's sending them into town. Maybe that's sending them across the sea, across the ocean. We need congregations sending and helping. And I'm going to tie these two in together. Evangelism is sharing the gospel by Christians and churches helping those who are preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, Paul says, I robbed other churches by taking wages from them to serve you. What is he saying to those at Corinth? I preached to you free. Someone else paid. Someone else supported me that I could do this. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 and 4, 15 through 16, you don't have to mark it, I'll just reference it. Paul received help time and time again from churches and congregations like Philippi. Philippi was known for helping Paul. Brethren, it goes beyond financial support. Evangelism is not all about the money. Now unfold your piece of paper. I had a long conversation with a good friend of mine who makes several trips overseas a year and for a long time lived in an Asian country preaching. And we were having a conversation about supporting preachers. And he said, there are many congregations that are financial support. They send their check monthly. He said, and please don't get me wrong, it's greatly appreciated. He said, but the congregations that mean the most to you are the ones who are involved in your work. And what he meant by that is he's over in Asia, but some of the congregations were not just a check. They prayed for him. They checked on him. They kept in contact with him. They established a bond to help him in his work. The challenge I have is we support 15 men with this congregation. 12 monthly, one weekly. That one ought to be easy, so everyone ought to get at least one. And two, when they take regular trips overseas. The challenge is for you to come up with all 15 names, and I only have two rules. Number one, you cannot use any other member as help, including your spouse. And number two, if you have a copy of an old financial report, you're not allowed to use it. That's the one that somebody got upset with me about this morning when I told them as they were getting ready to leave. They said, that's not fair. And I said, there's a reason. And I'm going to be honest with you. I only came up with 14 out of 15. I had to ask Bert this morning. I said, it is 12 men we support monthly, right? That's why I asked you that this morning. Because I only came up with 11 that we support monthly. We're going to reference this list in a lesson coming up. So keep up with it. But see how you do. And then let me ask you, are we helping these men? It's more than just financial support. You notice, where am I? Right there.
Congregation sending. Did you notice what happened in Acts chapter 13 before they sent them? They fasted and they prayed and they laid hands on them. For the gospel to be spread, it takes more than a paycheck. Please, I'm not discounting what we do here. It is a wonderful thing that we do. And I do not want it to come across that I'm saying we need to stop doing that. Please, don't take that as what I'm saying. I'm asking, are we helping these men in other ways? In the bulletin, every week it's been printed, pray for the men we support. We can easily just say in our prayer, we would like to thank you, Lord, and pray that you'll help those that we support. Why don't we call them by name in our personal prayers? I realize that may take a lot of time up here and someone doesn't want to do that. That's personal preference. But we need to be calling these men by name in our prayers. I'll give you one of the names. Terrell Bunting. You probably already had it. The reason I give you Terrell is Terrell considers this congregation like my friend considered those who prayed for him and worked with him. He talks about the tight bond he has with this group because of what this group has helped him with through the past. In prayers, in support, in love, not just financial. And Terrell would tell you that if he was standing up here. But he's one of 15. So, that's your challenge. To come up with all 15 names. I think I know where I've got mine wrong, but I'll have to wait and check with Bert. I think I used the first name of one and the last name of another as that name. So, I think that's what I did. We'll see. But that's evangelism. Evangelism is much more than giving your contribution on Sunday and saying, that's my part of evangelism. Not only, though, do congregations help, but individuals help. We're going to get to 3 John in a couple weeks, but go on over there. John is written to a man named Gaius. And John is commending him in verses 5 through 8. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be, fellow workers with the truth. Gaius was a man who was known for helping those in the field. And as you read here, it was more than just financial support. He showed them hospitality. He showed them love and compassion. It's through this we become fellow workers. Not everyone in this building can get up and go over to the Czech Republic and help us spread the gospel there. Not everyone here could go work at the camps like I work at, and I thank this congregation for being good with me about being able to work with those. Not all of us can go stand in the middle of town and preach the gospel. But you know what? On the outside of your paper, you got 3 names that somehow you have some influence on them, because otherwise you wouldn't have come up with them about needing the gospel. We all have work we can be doing. We all have efforts we can do. And so to close this lesson, just to spend a few more moments, I want to look at why is this important. Like I said, this will be the first of several lessons on evangelism. Not sure how many or when they'll be. But this isn't a topic we're just going to have one lesson and be done with. Without evangelism, Christians wither. John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Everyone know the story? I am the vine, ye are the branches. What happens when a branch quits giving its fruit? You know, back home we have pecan tree. You know what happens when a limb stops producing and is dying? We cut it off. Without evangelism, we don't bear fruit. And we wither away. And we'll be cut off. Without evangelism, relationships are lost. Look over at Revelation chapter 3. You remember this morning when we talked about being watchful, we were talking about the church at Sardis. Well, we are still. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. If we're not active, if we're not working, we'll lose our relationship with Christ. We become dead and separated. Without evangelism, God's work's not finished. God wants all to come to Him. Why else would He commission that you go spread the word? That you go make disciples? And if we all quit, His work isn't finished. If we all give up, there are souls out there that are hungering for Him that won't find them. Without evangelism, that field is not harvested. What did we just sing a few moments ago? Now we pray to Lord of Harvest for some workers here below. Many souls are needing saving. Only through God will they know that a Savior died to pardon and to cleanse this sinful world. Without evangelism, that harvest goes wasteful. What happens to a crop when it's ready but you leave it for a couple months? Waste away. What will happen if those out here, outside of these walls, are ready to hear the gospel, but no one goes to them? I have a good friend. I have a friend where my sister worships in Kentucky who preaches there. And he made the statement to me once. He said, I sure am glad that somebody cared enough about me to talk to me about the gospel. He said, because I was in the bars drinking every night, passing out from being so drunk, praying that God would send someone to talk to me. He said, and here I was, looking like a biker, got a mohawk down my head, dressed immodestly, drinking and guzzling away. He said, boy, am I glad that someone came and talked to me. Folks, there are people out there who want the gospel and are just waiting for someone to come talk to them. This man is now the father of four beautiful young women and a preacher in the Lord's church, and I believe a deacon. Can't quote me on that though, because I'm not 100% for certain. How many of us would have talked to him with the picture that I painted? How many of us? And boy, isn't he thankful that someone did. Without evangelism, souls are lost. People wither away. And people leave this life. There's a song in our book, I think. You never mentioned him to me. I think about that song often. Because what would it be like to have someone leave this world and we know we could have talked to him about the gospel and we didn't take the chances we had? That song is very sombering and hopefully causes us to think and act. Evangelism is essential. Without it, the church will not grow. Rock church will not grow without evangelism. But more importantly, the Lord's kingdom will not grow without it. What is your role?
I'm asking you tonight, what is your role? You listed three names on the outside of that piece of paper. What is your role in bringing them to the gospel? Because let me tell you, with the exception of maybe one or two, I doubt I know about anybody on any of your list. Preacher has a work to do, but so does each individual Christian. My circle of friends are not your circle of friends. And the reason I say one or two is on some of your list, there's probably family members that I've met. Probably. And those would probably be about the only ones on anybody's list that I would know. That or someone who's visited here with us in the past. So we all have work to do. When we leave this place this evening, we have a work. So let me ask you, what are you going to do? Are you going to be the person talking on your cell phone in the background? Maybe put your legs up on the table and just sit back and think somebody else has got this? Or are you going to do what you can to share the good news with them? If you're here this evening and you need to respond to God's call, now's the time to do that. We invite you to come to Him. That's a decision only you can make. But if you'd like to talk about it, I'd be glad to. I was so thrilled when that young man came to me and asked me if I'd talk to him. Because I've tried for the last 2 years. And every time, nope, not going to talk about it. Nope, don't want to talk about it. And this year, before I could ask him, he came to me. We all got people out there who need God. What are you going to do about it? If you need to respond to God's call, we invite you as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.